The reading is taken from 1 John, verse 1, to the end of the chapter. That was which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and appeared to us, proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, and there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But we confess our sins. He is faithful and just and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we will make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading is taken from John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. This is the Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and Redeemer. Wasn't the weather wonderful yesterday? And it's nice this morning, but I believe that rain may be on the way. But it made me realise when I was walking in the park yesterday how long the cloudy winter seemed to be and how wonderful it was to just appreciate the beauty and splendour of this time of year, with the new life on the trees, with the leaves opening and the plants thriving. This is the sort of awe and splendour and gratitude that John is conveying in his letter at the beginning. As we honour and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, remembering that he died for us so that we might have eternal new or renewed life. And over the last couple of weeks since Easter, we've looked at a few of the resurrection stories where Jesus appeared to his disciples. He was seen by them, heard by them, touched them. And in the opening reading of our first reading that Hopeton did, of the first letter of three written by John, he writes about the truth of Christ living here on earth amongst us. He wrote, "Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched." And there was a real reason why John was making this emphasis on Jesus being human amongst us, because there were false teachers around. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the whole of this letter. But this morning, it was chapter 1 by John. And there has been some controversy about which John it is, but is most likely to be the same John who wrote John's Gospel, which reading we had from Steve second, who also wrote Revelation. And the letter was almost certainly written for those churches in Asia where they were suffering from false teachers, and was probably circulated around 90 AD. So John writes in his usual style of awe and wonder of how wonderful God is, with real belief and conviction and confidence, and with a poetic visual feel to it that I love. John clearly wanted to encourage his readers who receive this letter and us today to stay firm in our Christian beliefs and not be lured away by any false teaching. He encourages readers to live in fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He warns his readers against the false teaching that would destroy that fellowship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And he writes about the importance of confessing our sins and about forgiveness made possible through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus. So this first part of the letter has a real emphasis on fellowship and forgiveness. And that's why we come to worship, isn't it? So that we can have fellowship with our fellow believers and we can confess our sins and receive forgiveness and all that goes with it. So what exactly was the false teaching that was happening in that area of Asia all those years ago that John was trying to counteract? Some of that teaching was that God did not become fully human in Jesus Christ. And these false teachers thought that being saved was being set free from the concerns of life on earth, and therefore they didn't accept that Jesus was fully human. And this teaching went alongside the belief that salvation had nothing to do with love for others and values relating to morality. So you can see why John felt it was essential that he put things right. John clearly wants to counter all of this. And it's no surprise, as we heard in our gospel reading, that what he wrote in the letter echoes some of his gospel. Those lovely words that we say very frequently. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And another example, shortly before Jesus left his disciples in John's Gospel, about fellowship. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another, that everyone will know you are my disciples." Now, when I was reading these two passages, I was thinking how well they went together with those three W's, the three statements that we have come to bring together from our vision process over the last few months. The W's of worship, welcome, and witness. So worship, that includes acknowledging who we believe in, our Trinitarian God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and our worship to him, whatever form that may take, not just in church on a Sunday. And our sharing of thanks and praise to God, who loves us and created us and saved us and offers us life in all its fullness. Our new strapline. In our worship, we also acknowledge our sinfulness. As we had our confession and Paul did the absolution this morning. And so we have the full assurance of God's great mercy to forgive us. So what about the second W? Welcome, fellowship. In John's letter, we're reminded about the fellowship that we have with God. And all our fellowship with each other stems from that relationship we have with God and with others. Our love for God, and therefore our love and care for others. We welcome all with the love that we have received from Jesus. And then our third W, witness. John explained that as witnesses to Christ, we have fellowship with one another and live in the light of God. John uses a lot of visual language, God being light, throughout his gospel writings too. And the second part of this first chapter in his letter focuses on the difference between darkness and light. John states, in him there is no darkness at all. That's in God, there is no darkness at all. And therefore, if we walk in darkness, we're at odds with that. We're not living out the truth. And our truth isn't seen, and the truth isn't seen by others. But if we walk in the light, as God is light, and we have fellowship with him and with one another, people will see that through us, day by day, in our lives, in our words, and in our acts of loving service and care. But John does tackle some tough stuff in this first letter. John emphasizes the importance of acknowledging and confessing our sins so that we can be cleansed, that is, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, who lived on earth by us, amongst us and purifies us from all sin. And we remember this in particular when we're invited to communion a little bit later. So let's think a little bit more about light and darkness that John's writing about. John often uses this visual analogy to illustrate the difference between purity and sinfulness. John suggests that the way we walk and live indicates whether we're walking in the light or walking in darkness. I wonder what comes to mind for you when thinking about light and darkness, when thinking about your faith, or about the way you live, or about the attitudes you have. There may be particular things about the way we walk and live that show others whether we're walking in light or darkness. And John emphasizes the need to confess our sins. And when we do, we can have forgiveness from God when we're honest to God about it. And I must admit, when I was reading this passage, I felt a bit challenged at this point, more than a bit challenged. To reflect and think really honestly about my attitude towards sin and confession, and challenged about the times when maybe I have or haven't been honest about my wrongdoings, about lack of attentiveness to walking in the light of God at all times, and what this might reveal about my Christian life. So then I pulled myself together and I thought, but I am human. And if I pray to God as often as I can, then I'll receive forgiveness. Christian fellowship is about worshipping together and encouraging each other, eating together, sharing life's ups and downs together, praying for each other, being involved in church activities and groups, supporting and encouraging each of us in the love of Christ. And in these post-resurrection stories that we looked at over the last couple of weeks, there's a lot about fellowship. Jesus had breakfast on the beach with his disciples. Jesus had a conversation on the road to Emmaus and shared a meal, both illustrating the importance of fellowship. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be having that sharing lunch when we say goodbye to Rachel and thank you to Rachel. So let's return to our three W's. Worship, witness and welcome. It is through worship that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, which will give us the courage to bear witness to God's love for us, and will then be a place where we can welcome and encourage others to experience that joy of the power of God's mercy to save us. So maybe this week we can seek to be closer in fellowship to our Lord Jesus Christ. Explore our fellowship with our church family more, giving encouragement to each other. Get to know and share times with those who are seeking or need to know the love of Lord Jesus for themselves. And encourage them to welcome them into this, our God's family, and to help them experience Christ's love and light. So through friendship and fellowship, they can get to know of God's love and forgiveness for them. Reading John's letter reminded me to think about not just God's guiding light, but walking in God's light. During Lent, I read a book that had daily Bible readings and reflections about objects and furnishings in our home. It's called At Home in Lent by Gordon Giles. One of the objects was a nightlight. Now, there are various types of nightlights. Could be bedside lights, landing lights, a dim light along the landing to keep the darkness away for children, perhaps a torch or a candle. And it made me think about the light within me and acknowledge that there are some times when maybe the light within me is just flickering a little too dimly, either through distraction or temptation, challenge or lack of focus. But we have the wonderful assurance that Christ's light is always there for us, ready to brighten in response to just a little faith, just a little hope, and just a little love. God is light, and his love and light is abundant. Living his commandments and doing his will is hard. Resisting temptations is hard. Living in the light can be hard. But when we're in constant fellowship with God and with one another, which is so important and precious, life will challenge us and we will be able to keep going despite our stumbles. Being in fellowship with God and one another is something to really cherish and constantly be nurtured and not taken lightly, helping each other to keep walking in the light day by day. So let's go forwards by worshipping God, welcoming others, and being witness to our belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we enter into the summer months with the brightness of the sunshine and the signs of new life, may we celebrate the light that is our Lord, our God, Word incarnate, who came to the world to live as a human, to die so our sins can be forgiven, so that we might have eternal life and bring everlasting hope into the world. I will end with a prayer prompted by reflection on walking in light. Let us pray. Jesus, light of the world, illuminate our lives so that whatever state our faith is in, however vulnerable we feel, that our wavering light for you may be ready to respond to you and invite you in. To be in fellowship with you, and walk in your light and with one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.